down from the first book of Peter. You know, something that Brian said last night, which, you know, I really believe to be absolutely the truth, is that we must keep falling in love with Jesus again and again and again. And I'm just reading from the first epistle of Peter. I'll read from verses 3 to 9 and then going into chapter 2. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, when you stop and think back, as we Peter did, and refreshed us about his healing back in 1981. I mean, that was a tremendous thing that happened there, because that auditorium that had 7,000-ish or people above, underneath were ministers meeting in a conference. But something went on in that conference where they disbanded with the business and started praying. And what was happening was God was moving upstairs, and the ministers were praying downstairs, and God was moving among them. And it was a pleasant surprise when Peter had been healed, because as he reminded the church, when he actually broke his arm in two places, I've never seen anything like it myself. I've just come home from work. And he did say this to the church. I lost my dinner because I had to rush into hospital. His arm was sort of like that. It was broken in two places. And he could never, at the time, he could never get past that. And when he came out of that meeting, he could do that.
Yeah.
And you know, God did that.
Yes.
And you know, and as we were reminding, I'm thinking, I've been thinking, because I did say this to the church, on Friday the 20th of May in 1955, I went forward at a Billy Graham crusade to give my heart to Jesus in the pouring rain. I got drenched, but Jesus came into my heart. And, you know, that's 55 years ago. And when we were singing, Forever God is Faithful, you know, I was thinking, well, that's a long time. And still, God is faithful. And you know, it says, who have they not seen you love? And you know, what Brian said last night about loving Jesus, it's more important than anything else to love Jesus. And let me read the next bit, which is also from 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4, beginning of verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Good news, isn't it? If you're a believer, you will not be put to shame. If you believe in Jesus, you won't be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. He is precious. To those who are disobedient, well, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone stumbling and a rock of offence. They stumbled being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. You know, we lie because he first loved us. We love Jesus. To us he's precious. He's the most precious person in our lives. He's more precious than our mum and dad were. Last week, I was sent a DVD that had been found by my friend John in London. He'd found it going through some of his father's things, his father's with the Lord, and they've got a lot of stuff, and he thought he'd sent me this DVD. It was a DVD of my mum and dad's 60th diamond wedding anniversary. And it came in the post, and Vivian and I sat down to watch this DVD. And it was pretty hard. Because on the DVD was my little dad speaking, and he's been with the Lord since 2001, and this was actually taking place in 1999, and he wasn't well at the time, but he survived more than the 6 months they gave him. So, he was speaking there. And also, on that DVD was my mum, who had been quite a life and soul until she had a stroke in 2000, a year after that very DVD was taken. And I might say the man that took it was dead within 6 months of taking the DVD. That's why I've never seen it. And on that DVD was Barbara. And all the children. Yeah. Now, you know, and Mrs. Pierce. And they're with the Lord. And that was only 11 years ago. And I was looking at that DVD. And parts of it were really rejoicing my heart, and parts were bringing me a little sadness, you know, because I was seeing it, and I struggled a little bit. It went on for 28 minutes. But my elder brother, because he was sort of the elder one, he gave a little speech. Well, I wouldn't say a little speech, he spoke quite a long time at the beginning. Bit too long really, but something, you know, he just spoke about. And then my younger brother, I didn't get to speak at this anniversary, but when my younger brother got up, he was sort of celebrating. And the trouble with what they'd done, and those that were there will remember this, it was their 60th wedding anniversary. And whoever did the labels for 60, had written, go, 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 go. The six, they hadn't finished, they hadn't finished it up. It looked like a G. And my younger brother commented, you know, it's, they go, 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 all around the hall it had go, 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 go. And you know, earlier this year, when I was with Peter in Norwich, a missions conference, and we were worshipping, or the preacher said, forget everything and just come and worship God. Don't worry about your stands and anything else. Just let's worship God. And he said, prepare your heart and let's come and worship God. And I was preparing my place of worship. Reach out to a needy world. Go. And when my brother said that on that DVD, go, 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 go. You know, what God wants us to do is to be so in love with Jesus that we then go. And that's what was said last night, wasn't it? That Brian said, sometimes we have our missions conferences, our international conferences, we have all this, we plan, we do this, we make plans. But you know, the most important thing is to have a relationship with Jesus. Yeah. To fall in love with Jesus, keep being in love with Jesus, because when you love Jesus, you're going to go. You won't stay when you love Jesus, because you know that he loves everybody else, and the kingdom of heaven needs to be populated, and the only way it's going to be populated is by preaching the good news of Jesus, letting people know that he died for them, and then he wants to save them. And you know, that's what we read here. Unto you, you believe he is precious. It's only those that are disobedient. If they're disobedient to the gospel word, but therefore they've got to hear the gospel. And I said this yesterday morning, in the church. God had spoken to me a little word earlier this month, which was really from the same scripture. It was from J.B. Phillips' translation. It was from the same scripture as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Except it said, faith, you see, can only come by hearing the message, and the message is the word of Christ. And you know, that's what we need, to share the word of Jesus. And you know, people don't want to hear about church. They don't want to hear about doctrine. They want to hear about Jesus. Yeah. And the only way we can share Jesus is if we're in love with him. Because, you know, when you love him, you're not afraid to say, I love Jesus. You know, there's nothing, you're not ashamed. For you, he's precious. You know, if you're a husband, you know, if you love your wife, you can say, I love you. And you could say to other people, I love my wife. You know, if you don't love her, then you don't say it, do you? But if you love Jesus, you're going to say it. You're going to tell, you're going to go, because you know that that will please him. Because you always want to do things that please the one you love. That's true, isn't it? You always want to do, you're prepared to do anything for the person you love. And you know, I thought that. You know, as I was watching that DVD just last week, and Pete was on it, and the children were on it, and Faye and Susan sang to their Faye and John sang to their nan and granddad, John did his impression of Bruce Forsyth in Play Your Cards Right, and had my two brothers as the two teams, and their wives as the two teams opposing each other. There were lots of things going on, lots of happy memories, lots of things being shared. And I was looking at my little dad, and I thought, well, you know, his little dad never was a preacher, never preached once in his life. But I really believe that many knew that he was a real born-again Christian. And when I was growing up, he wanted nothing to do. He said, you'll never get me into a church like that. And I was reminded of this when I'm looking at the DVD. And I went to the Staines Church one day as a preacher, and my dad served me communion. And God said in my ear, you'll never get me in a church like that. And my dad served me the communion. And I thought, wow, what a great God you are. You know, you're able to say from the uttermost to the uttermost. You know, all people need to do is to hear about Jesus. You know, and we need to be in love with Jesus in order to share that out. You know, and then dear old Mark, you know, I could see her talking, and I thought, you know, the last she didn't died till 2007. And from 2000 to 2007, she'd lost the power to speak. And that 1999, just a year beforehand, She was just, all my memories come flooding back. That was my mum. Not my mum sitting in an armchair, not being able to speak, not being able to communicate, but being able to share. And there was Barbara sitting there, and active at the table. You know, and then Mrs. Pierce. And these people are all with the Lord now. But it's good as well to realise they are with the Lord. It is good to realise that, isn't it? It's you know, as I looked around and I thought the man that took the DVD 6 months after taking it, he was with the Lord. And you think, well, they're with the Lord. This was a 60th anniversary in a Baptist church hall. And most of the people in that hall were born again Christians, most of them. There was my auntie, the last one, the oldest one. She was there. My uncle, Vivian, and I had been to his funeral, and the last funeral of our family that we went to was my auntie, and we went to that as well. And there they were, and these ones are with the Lord. They're with God. And, you know, and that's something else we must be very careful of in our judgment of other people, you know. My auntie and uncle, I never had any conviction in my heart that they were Christians myself. They were good people, but I never had in my heart that they were Christians, but when I went to my uncle's funeral, he was a quiet man. But so many ministers, vicars, spoke of how much he had influenced their life. It's so much so that they had, and you see in the Church of England, that they have actually created a stained glass window in memory of my uncle for what he'd done in the church, in encouraging. And the minister was saying, he encouraged me into the ministry. Think about that. I think, well, you know, and then my auntie, exactly the same. And you know, when you hear, you see some people, you don't see them. My dad didn't talk, but they lived for Jesus. My uncle didn't say too much. My auntie didn't say too much. But they had a life dedicated to because of their faith in Christ. You know, we have to love Jesus. And let's be careful that we don't. I looked at all these people, and God sort of shows you that he's touched people's lives. And you know, he touched my life 55 years ago. And he never leaves me. I know you've made mistakes, and you don't always feel that you're in the right place, and you probably aren't, but you know, God is faithful. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is faithful, you know, and he to us, it's precious. So let's do what Brian said last night. You might not have heard him, but we heard what Brian said. It's about falling in love, being in love with Jesus. It's not about having all the programs. The programs are fine, but they need to come from love. Love. And it's our love of Jesus. You know, if there's anything we do in church at all, this is and I said it yesterday morning, it's a faith convention. And, you know, if there's anything that we do, let's be in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's purpose in our heart that this weekend, because this is what we're about, isn't it? We want to love Jesus Christ. You know, we are here because we love him because he first loved us, and we want to keep on loving him. And you know, it's not a time now to be growing cold in heart. It's a time now to be falling more in love with Jesus. Getting more and more and more. You know, I can say this that it's the truth. When I first met Barbara, she wasn't even a Christian. And I took her to the church. And I was concerned because she wasn't a Christian. And I said to my friend, who was also on that DVD last week, I said, I can't continue to go with Barbara. I said this on the Saturday. I know what day it was. It was the 15th of September. I said it on Saturday, the 15th of September, to my friend. I said, I can't continue to go with Barbara. You know, I've been there, been going with her for a few weeks, but she's not a Christian, and I can't carry on. The next day, she gave her heart to God. And you know, when you started that relationship, because obviously the relationship changed from the very next day. Once she made a commitment to Christ, it was then a serious relationship. Because I loved her, but I respected God's word that I didn't want to go with someone who wasn't a Christian. And I loved Jesus more. And that's important. And I've never changed from that. I loved Barbara. I loved her from the first day, and the love grew. But I can tell you this, and I know lots of people that may not like people said, I love Jesus more than I love Barbara. I love Jesus more than my mum and more than my dad. And I love Jesus more than you and any of my other children. I love Jesus. Because it's Jesus above. There's something that happens. When you love Jesus, you love your family more. That's the thing. You see, when you put God first, then everything is in the right place. And it's that what makes the difference. Putting Jesus first. It's not loving your preaching or loving even, you should love the world, but it's loving Jesus first. When you've got the love of God in your heart, then you will love as Jesus loves. And so I will encourage all of us to do what Brian said last night. Fall in love with Jesus. Keep being in love with Jesus, because love with Jesus will do something this weekend. If we keep loving Jesus, we will be soul winners. We will fulfill the commission that God's got. We will step into the place that God's got for us. If we love Jesus, then we will be in the right place to receive what was spoken about last night, which is the moving of God. Because when you love Jesus, you know what it is. When you love someone, you are prepared to do anything for them. Yeah? You're prepared to do anything. So if you love Jesus, you're prepared to do anything for Jesus, aren't you? Well, let's just turn that around a bit. When you love Jesus, none of us are going to doubt that Jesus loves us, are we? And Jesus is prepared to do anything for us as well. Because he's in love with us. When we're in love with him, he's in love with us. So we'll do anything for him, but he'll do anything for us. If we ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, he'll do anything if we love him. If we love him, he's prepared to do anything. You'll do anything. Anything. For your partner. Won't you? You'd do anything if you love someone. You're not prepared to hold back anything. And God will not withhold one good thing from those who walk uprightly. And the upright are people who love Jesus. People who put all their trust in him. What does it say? They will never be put to shame. They will never be put to shame. We're absolutely on solid ground when we love Jesus. You know, you can have, there's nothing wrong with doctrines, nothing wrong with teaching, nothing wrong with churches, nothing wrong with organisation, nothing wrong with plans, nothing wrong with all the schemes, and nothing wrong with anything. But if we don't love Jesus, we're missing something. But if we love Jesus, you know, God's just He makes rich, we've heard it tonight. That's the He makes rich. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. You know, it's not material blessings, it's Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than him. Remember? George Beverly Shea sang that at Billy Graham's crusade. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. You know, they were the songs that were being sung when I came to the Lord. They were the songs. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You know, that's wonderful, isn't it? So let's love Jesus. Unto you, believe he is precious.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I was just reminded as we're sitting there that I'm writing a letter to a very outgoing church, to the Corinthians. They were a church that were moving in the gifts of the Spirit and working miracles and doing all sorts of things that, as God was anointing them. But he wrote to the church and in 1 Corinthians 12, and I think it's verse 31, the last verse of the chapter, he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And that's the way of love. You know, and in that chapter, it begins chapter 13, he says, you can have all faith so you can remove mountains. We're in a faith convention. But if you don't have love, it doesn't profit you anything. That's what Galatians tells us, that faith works by love. So without love, you know, as we heard last night and has been encouraged us again today, let's love him. More and more. You know, there was a song that was written years ago, and I think we've got the words for it. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over again.